I miss Dave. It's been about a month now. It's hard. We miss him a bit too. He and Nicole and the whole family. Bianca and I end up going to the house every few months. We try to. We try to have a game night. That hasn't been happening as much. I like board games. I like card games, but we, Dave and Nicole do too, and we get together and we're able to do that. I like to win. That's right. It's fun. There's a little bit of competition because Dave and Nicole are competitive too, and Bianca is very competitive. And so we, all four of us, have a grand time playing these games and seeing who is victorious. And the victorious person the next time around usually loses badly because everybody is against them. So it's fun to watch. One time we went over there and they decided, I don't know, to put us through trials and temptations. They said, let's bring out Pictionary. And Pictionary is not as cerebral. That's my excuse. And they played at teams, Dave and Nicole against me and Bianca and I. And they destroyed us, crushed us, like buried us. It wasn't close. It was silly. It was absolutely one of the worst defeats you've ever seen. And it was funny, because now whenever we come over, they say, like, one play Pictionary. That's like, yeah. But it's fun to win, right? Well, some people aren't competitive, but I like to win. I like to be victorious. Some of us may be watching a game today. Some of us may not. But if you have a particular team you're rooting for or cheering for, it would be fun, I imagine, if they won, right? I assume you wouldn't just go, oh, yay, they won. There's cheering going on. Partly, people like to get together on Super Bowl Sunday because they like to cheer together. It's neat to have that victory. Victory is an interesting thing. In the Christian life, we have victory. We are conquerors. We've won. And that's a cool feeling. Except a lot of times it doesn't look like that. Start talking to Christians, and it doesn't look like they're living victoriously. It doesn't look like they've won. It looks like they're kind of depressed, sad and depressed about everything. We have victory in Christ. John's going to talk a little bit about that in 1 John chapter 5. We're in the last chapter of John. It's exciting. It seems like John repeats a lot because he wants us to get it. But some of you may be saying, well, I've heard this a lot. Well, be encouraged. We're in chapter 5. We'll be here for the next 6 months now. We'll be in 5-6 months. We may go Old Testament. So hopefully by the time I'm back in a couple weeks, the next book we'll be doing, I'll have, and you can start reading through it if that's where the Lord leads. And I'll be praying for me, and I'll be praying about where I believe God wants me to go. But we are in chapter 5 this morning, chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your salvation, your death on the cross, the gift of your Son. Thank you that we can go to you as children and that we have a relationship with you, and that you have given us the victory. Help us live lives in view of that reality. Bless the sermon this morning. Give me the correct words, and help us to have open hearts to what you'd have us learn. In your name, amen. We've been talking about the Christian's love for one another, and that this is an evidence of salvation. And this is one of the repeated themes over and over again, and how Christians should walk in the light, again, repeated over and over again. They should live for God, doing what he wants us to do. This is an evidence of salvation, this obedience. This is not what saves you. Again, this is evidence of who you are in Christ, and that's important to emphasize. This isn't how you get saved. This is evidence of that salvation. Again, we talked about what a Christian should believe. A Christian must have a right understanding of who Christ is. A correct understanding. They need to believe in him. They need to understand he's God. And he came to earth for you. And why is John writing these things? Well, there's something going on in the church. There are false teachers and things going on, leading people astray, incorrectly teaching who Christ was, and you don't have to love, and you don't have to live the Christian walk, you don't have to follow God, you don't have to be obedient. These are the evil things that they were being taught. John's saying, no, this is not a Christian, this is who a Christian is. In chapter 5, verse 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know you're saved. You may know you're a Christian. So if we have eternal life, do you have eternal life? I need a response. Yes. If you're a Christian, you're saved. You have eternal life. And if we know this, if we see this evidence in our life, if we understand through reading this, we go, wow, I'm saved. You can know we are more than conquerors. We have overcome the world. We've won. That's our team. Could you imagine watching the Super Bowl today and Buccaneers and Chiefs, right? If the Buccaneers won. Okay, Chiefs? I don't care. I may watch the end. But anyway, if one of them wins, right, which I assume someone will win, half the team sitting there going, oh, I guess we won. Is that what's going to happen? No. They'll be running around, jumping up, throwing Gatorade on people. That's what they do because they're happy they won. They'll even go to Disneyland. They always say they are. So Disney World, they don't do that anymore. Okay, it's canceled. It's closed. They'll try to. They're going somewhere. They're happy. They're excited because they have conquered. They have won. They have the victory. The entire team is that way. There's an excitement when you have overcome or conquered in a difficult task. When you see something happen, when the victory is yours. I don't have a lot of sports victory stories. Believe it or not, I have a lot of school victory stories. The semester project that you end up doing on the last night. Up all night, 3, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and you're looking. It's a morning class, but you only have like half a page left. You're typing, and you know you're going to complete it. And you go, I have conquered. It's done. And that feeling is so nice. That feeling when you get to the last page of a 20-page paper, when it's complete, when it's done. Do Christians live life in this way? Christians have won. They're victorious. They have overcome. Yet it almost looks like they're on the winning team and they're sitting in the corner crying. Well, you've won. Why are you on the bench just being sad? What's going on? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you see a word repeated often there? If you have different versions, you may have a different word, but overcomer or conqueror or victory, all the same word is verb or a noun. Anybody here of Nike? Anybody wear Nikes? Nike shoes. Why did Nike call the shoes Nike? It's the Greek god of victory. The goddess of victory. It means victorious. It means the conqueror. This word, would you hear over and over again, where it says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes. Nike, Nikeo. It's actually Nikeo. It's the verb there. The verb. The victory. The world. And this is the victory. Again, Nike. Think Nike. Victory. Conquer. That has overcome. Same word. Repeat it again. Who is it that overcomes? Same word. Four times, two verses, very short verses. Do you think John's trying to make a point? Yeah. He's trying to say, this is who you are. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes, is victorious, is a conqueror. Everyone. Not just some Christians. It's not the select few. It is Christians. All of us. Those in the fellowship. We're on the winning team. The idea even here with the word overcome is it's a continuous winning. A continuous conquest. Is victory that's not just a one-time event. It's there and happening. You are victorious. You have conquered. Why? Because you're such a great athlete? No. Because you're such a good person? No. Why are we victorious in Christ? Why are we overcomers? In Christ. Because of Christ. Because he, who he is and what he has done. Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And this passage is familiar to you, or probably most all of you. But it's one of my favorite passages. Romans 8, verse 34. We'll start there. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Christ saved us. He died for us. He rose again, victory over death. He is at the right hand of God. He's interceding for us. This is what Christ is doing for us as Christians. That's your position in Christ. And then verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God, or love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Even during persecution, even when I'm in danger of the sword, even when they're going to kill me, there is victory. There are a lot of Christians out there who are scared to death right now. They're scared. They say, where is the world going? What's the U.S. going to do? They see sin going on. They see bad things happening. They see directions, and they're scared. I'm concerned by the sin in this world. But I'm hoping for revival. But should I fear? No. Why shouldn't I fear? Because God loves me, and I am His. And verse 35, Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are guarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there still victory in persecution? Yes. In distress, when things are going bad? Yes. Verse 37. Know in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Same word. Through Him who loved us. In fact, that word is a compound word. It was victory. And like above and beyond victory. So much victory. It's just crazy. We are more than conquerors. Completely victorious. God loves us. We are born of God. We're His kids. The creator of this universe, everything you look at outside, when you look up and see the stars, the heavens, everything was created by God. He loves me and sent His Son to die for me. And I am His child. He is on my team. And I have overcome as a Christian. Who shall separate us from this love? Verse 38, Romans 8, 38. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are completely victorious in Christ. So what's there to fear? Why do we feel like there's not a victory? That we've lost the game. That the Pictionary champions have defeated us. I think sometimes we think that our victory is found someplace else. Where is our victory found? And this is the victory, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Go back there. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Salvation, our faith in Christ. We are saved not by being good enough, but by believing in Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We're saved by faith. Sometimes I think our victory so much depends in our own mind on us doing this and that, or seeing this success in our church, or this success in our work, or this success in our family. Our victory is in Christ and His love for us. His vision He's given us. We have no fear of persecution. Sin no longer has dominion over us. This world no longer controls us. There isn't even fear in death. Because Christ has given us the victory. God's gift of salvation by grace through faith. So how do we look at the world? Go through a different passage very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think this is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Corinthian church were very confused. Paul's talking to them. And he's trying to help them understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory. God gave us the victory through what Jesus did for us, his death on the cross. We don't need to be afraid. How do we respond? Knowing that the victory is ours. Look at verse 58 in this passage. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We're seeing some things in the world happen. Change is happening. In fact, historically, if you have a lot of sickness and things like this, there's historical changes that happen. An interesting fact. Change happens. Weird things happen. The world changes. You have the victory in Christ. You do not need to be afraid. And your response, you should be steadfast and immovable. And the world, when they look at Christians, should see that. Christians who are doing the work that God has given them. This does not mean the world will be easy. It's hard. It's hard to go through things. You know how I know that? Jesus told me that. He told us all that. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Where is our peace? In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have, same word, overcome the world. Christ had the victory. He's given it to us through him. If God is for us, who can be against us? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 talks about this. It says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Same thing. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who has victory? Who overcomes? Who triumphs? A Christian. That's where we live. That's our team. The one who has fellowship with God. The one who has been born of God. The person who has been saved. And how do you know? How do you know you have that? What evidence is there? How can you say, 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you so that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. There's evidence. What do you believe? Who do you love? Who do you obey? Go back to verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is this Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. John goes and gives all three things again, all three evidences. Ties them all together. again. Because he wants you as a Christian to understand this, that you have the victory and who you are. A Christian believes in certain things. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. A Christian believes that Jesus is the Christ sent from God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Word come in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus came. We believe that. The false teachers taught a false understanding of who Christ was. We must believe who Christ is. How Scripture teaches that he is. A Christian must love. This is evidence of what Christ has done in their life. They love and they believe. Everyone who loves the Father loves who has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. We love God and obey his commandments. Who do you love? Do you love God? Do you love his people? Do we love the people in church? Fellowship with others and fellowship with God is what we should have. There's a joint partnership, a unity of purpose. We have the same goals and same purpose. We're going in the same direction. We have victory together. We're on the same team. And it has won. We're in this together. There is unity there. A sense of purpose. Who do we obey? Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. We follow him. We walk in the light because we love him. Jesus said this in John 14. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's evidence of who you are, what you love. How much do you love him? It's interesting, in Matthew 10, verse 37, Christ says, whoever loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves sons or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How much do you love God? You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love results in action. All these things are linked. If you love God, you love your fellow Christians. You obey God. You believe who he is and who he says he is. A Christian's belief, a Christian's love, a Christian's obedience are all tied together in who you are as a Christian. They are evidence of who you are. It shows who you are. It gives us assurance. And if this is true, if we are truly Christians, Christianity is true, and I believe it to be true, where do we stand? Verse 4 and 5, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We have victory in him. We have victory over the sin and death and the horrible things that this world says are important, this world system. We have victory in Christ. And we don't no need to fear. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We can stand steadfast and immovable no matter what happens. Because this is who we are. That's a wonderful thing. There's a sense of peace there. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your victory. Help us to realize the truth, the reality of what the world is all about, and what you have done, and the salvation in which we stand. And we are more than conquerors. Bless us this afternoon. Help us to bring glory to you and glory to you this week and live for you and share with others the victory that you provide. In your name, amen.